Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal. Of ghosts, UFOs, demons, Bigfoot, and generally anything unexplained. We live in a diverse world where we don't fully understand everything that happens around us. These are the topics that we are discussing on Paranormal Horizons. Stay tuned with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang, as we look a little deeper into the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons begins now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here with Sherry Pang as usual. Sherry, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Another week down. Busy as usual. It's nice to see that the weather is getting a little bit better up here in the Great Northwest as we transition out of all the garbage weather. Although we did have the worst power outages in the last decade up here. There were people that were without power the entire weekend. I believe there was 200,000 people out of power due to a severe windstorm we had, and I guess there were power lines and trees down everywhere. And fortunately for me, I wasn't affected, but knew people that were. How about you? Did you lose power?
Well, yes, we lost power for about 5 hours, or maybe six. I don't know, but it seemed like forever. And I got to worry about it because I got a fish tank. I got two fish tanks, and I was just kind of worried about my fish, you know, with the oxygen level and everything. So I just making sure that they're not going to die. They're exotic fish, and didn't want to lose my fish over the power outage. But no, they were fine. So yeah, we were probably out about 5-6 hours. I think, I don't know. It was scary because I can hear the wind whistling, and it was crazy.
That was really, really crazy. So, we're going to have a great show tonight. Who do we got lined up?
Well, we've got, we're going to have her back, Cindy Bailey-Dove. She's wonderful. She's, for some of you who don't know her, she's very well known in UFO, but drones. That's her specialty, the drone report. And she has her own show, and just would like to have her back. But tonight we're going to discuss a little bit different. We're going to go and talk about Reiki and psychics and tarot. And she's, you know, a paranormal investigator for some of you who don't know her. And she's just well-versed in different areas. So we're going to have her just share with us about what she knows about these areas. So I'm excited about it. Something different, and you know, it's kind of nice to talk about those kind of things and enlighten people. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, let's. I see that she's in queue. Let's go ahead and bring her on.
Okay.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, guys.
How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Well, I'm
glad.
Great. Listen to country music before the show.
Well, y'all have to bear with me a little bit because I am talking 2 hours past my bedtime. So hopefully I will make sense because I'm usually in bed a lot earlier than this.
Well, I really thank you for staying up for our show.
That's okay. No problem. I enjoyed the show when I was on the last time when we were talking about drones and UFOs and things like that. But
drones are very interesting, absolutely.
Right.
Well,
exactly. So anyway, we're going to talk about tonight about Reiki and tarot cards and psychics and your experience and your take and, you know, help the listeners those that are not familiar with those lines of metaphysical professions or what tools or whatever. It's nice to hear somebody who's had the knowledge and be able to share with our listeners what you know of it and what they can learn from that. So,
well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am an empath psychic. I have been ever since My first recollections. I can't say the word. Sorry, guys. Five or six, maybe four. I knew that there was something basically different. I'm 57, so growing up back in the 60s and 70s was much, much different for psychics, especially in a small southern state. I really did not even hear the word psychic till I was in my early 20s. There was no information about psychics. You were told, basically, that if this wasn't your imagination or if it wasn't your imagination, to keep it from yourself, to yourself, because basically we were allowed to have psychics, but they were only people that were very, very religious. So their abilities or readings came from God. And, of course, being a child, you're not able really to be super religious. So when I started to manifest these, I had absolutely no idea. It is much easier today to get information if you have abilities, to get help, basically. And I would encourage if anyone has children, and, you know, there is a fine line between imagination and having these type of abilities. And normally when someone gets 7, 8, or 9 years old, they're past the point where that they're small toddlers, and it's imagination. And this is where you could start, where they start to tell you things or they see things. And you don't have to encourage it, but please do not discourage it. Don't tell the person that it is imagination. Don't speak about this because it is very, very difficult to be raised in that environment with abilities, because you feel like I did as a child, that I was an outsider, that basically I was mentally disturbed. So just as
I can so much relate that to that, Cindy. I was like that. I seen spirits and new spirits when I was that age, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you know, and I didn't want the door, you know, closed, and it was really frightening because I can see them and sense them. And it's strange because I wanted the door open, and my mom said, "Oh, you're fine. There's nobody in here." You know, just like poo-pooing everything. Isn't that something?
Yes. Yes. And it's really in different areas of the country where it's more acceptable than others, which we know is New York, you know, L.A., these places. But basically, if you live, you know, in rural America, even now, where I live in Arkansas, this is frowned upon. and you are branded really that you're crazy. I have family members that actually believe that this is all in my head, even though my grandmother and great-grandmother were both psychics. But they were both Pentecostal, extremely religious, lived the life. They walked the walk. So there was acceptance for them where there wasn't for me, because I grew up in the Bible, so I went to church, but I was not super, because I was already questioning things, you know. Even at that age, I would question things you're not supposed to question. So at least now, I think that in certain parts of the country, it's much more accepted. It's much more open than it has been for years. And frankly, these shows that they're putting on, whether most of them is bunk, these paranormal shows, but it has done one thing. The belief in the paranormal has risen dramatically in this country because of these shows, these ghost shows. And what's funny about these ghost shows, and all of them, every place they go, they get all this fantastic evidence. That's not how it works in the real world. It's quite boring, I would say, 50% of the time.
I always assume it's all fake. I assume it's all fake, all these ghost shows. It's ridiculous.
They are fake. That's what I'm saying.
Would you say most of it's fake? Do you see any of them that are real?
Well,
what's your take on that, Cindy? Any of them real?
They're basically the very first ghost hunters that came out 6 or 7 years ago. They started out that it was actually a reality of how paranormal works. And that first season, you know, they just caught EVPs, and it was 3 seasons in before they ever really caught really great evidence. That show started out pretty much reality of what goes on. But, you know, as it went on, they are basically reality shows. All reality shows are staged to make it more exciting, and they're basically fake, yes. I mean, you don't go on every investigation into a place, get full-body apparitions, get hundreds of EVPs, get balls moving. It just doesn't work that way in real life. I have been doing investigations since I was 16 on and off. A lot of these investigations, believe it or not, are people where the wind is blowing in their home, they've got drafts, they live in a creaky house. This happens quite a bit when you go in and you find no evidence. That's the reality. You have to do a lot of work to get any type of real evidence. So it's, yeah, I mean, that happens quite a lot. And really, you help the people, because once you go in there, because what you have to do, you have to go in with the skeptic. You have to try to debunk everything if you're going to investigate this correctly. So you can't go into an investigation, walk in and hear a door slam and say, okay, that's evidence. No, because there's a lot of older homes with drafts where the doors are slammed. But it does help the people, because then you can tell them that, no, there is no haunting here. This is just your house settling. This is just the wind blowing. So
I can totally relate to that. I was doing an investigation in somebody's house one time, and they were telling me that the bathroom door opens all the time by itself. And what I found was it wasn't a ghost. There's actually a place on the floor like that was maybe 8-10 feet away from the door, that if you stepped on it, it would pop the bathroom door open. Anyway, that's my short story.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's quite common, and especially now with all these shows, it's on TV that people watch, and, you know, you kind of let your imagination get away from you after you watch these shows. Now, And there, you know, in the places that are, quote unquote, I don't like to use the word haunted, let's say active, it's still very hard to get really evidence. It's not easy. It's certainly not like they show on TV. In the most you'll get is EVPs, but you have to be cautious with EVPs because there are other things that can cause EVPs. Basically, radio waves. You can get a radio. You can catch people on CBs, actually, on these EVPs. So, and especially now when we're using all of this wireless technology. So when you get these EVPs, it can be something else, even though you get go. If someone has a house that has a large magnetic field for some reason, they live behind, you know, drought power lines or whatever, this will absolutely cause this type of EVPs. People will actually begin to feel it. It actually gives you a feeling of dread, like your house or something in your house. And this is, well, with the amount of what's going on with these frequencies and microwaves, these can actually really affect people. And, I mean, affect them physically and even can cause hallucinations. So, and there's also homes that are built on certain material, these magnetic waves and these frequencies that you're using, and you can actually catch them, you know, on a recorder. That's why a lot of times people get EVPs that don't make any sense. When you get an EVP is if you're getting a direct answer, a question that you ask. When you're getting just words that don't make any sense, that cannot be counted, in my opinion, as a genuine EVP. Because it's just too many other things that can interfere with that. Also, when you go out in these homes, like you were talking about the door, you have to be real careful to check everything that's going on. I mean, it can be something as simple as there's a squirrel in your attic, believe it or not. I've even had some where there were mice in the house. So it's not as exciting as everybody thinks. Now, I have went done investigations that it was extremely active. What was strange about this was not a home. This was at a place called Nuclear Lake in New York. This was one of the most strangest places that I have ever did any work on. It was a big park, and it runs into the Appalachian Trail ends there. Well, I didn't know anything about this property or nothing. I mean, I don't like for them, my team, to even give me the name. No names. I don't want to know if it's a house. I don't want any condo, anything. But this place was really bizarre. I do the readings over the phone, and I could see in my mind a superimposed over this whole property, basically a completely different reality. As crazy it is, it sounds.
Weird.
It was very bizarre. I could see, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. There were insects that just would light up like big balls of light, and they were covered all in this area. There were absolutely creatures there that I had never seen. It was very bizarre. And the energy of that place was so high that over, when I was doing the reading over the phone, I was hit with this energy that I literally could not speak. It shot through the bottom of my feet, out the top of my head, and I could not speak. I could not think. And I was stuttering to my team member to please move away from wherever he was. Please move away. And I knew absolutely nothing about this place, but to come to find out, it's been very active. That's why they went and investigated. But this is, and we also did it on Halloween night. And I don't necessarily believe anything about Halloween night makes it any difference as far as ufology, but I'm not sure about this place, because this place is, you could go there 50 times and nothing happened. And the 51 time, it's like a reality shift. It was one of the most weird, bizarre places I have ever read.
Well, you hear people swear about Halloween night. Isn't that like some solstice thing or something? I don't know anything about it. What? But
yes. Right. I mean, it didn't. It evolved over, hundreds and hundreds of years into what we call Halloween now. But they used to put out baskets of fruits and things for what they had back then is their gods or dynasties, you know. So it evolved into what it is now. And with one thing, it can affect, because if so many people believe it affects. And what I mean by that is belief. Belief is a very strong, we can, as people, manifest things by our, if enough people believe it. The indigenous people knew this. They had names for this. This is absolutely true. And this is like, an example of that is the Loch Ness Monster. They will never find any evidence because basically we have manifested this creature. They're not really alive. And what's funny about this, I had known this all my life, but now with quantum physics, they are proving this. Every quantum physics is now becoming mainstream, and you see article after article, quantum physics, well, is solving the mysteries of psychic abilities, of hauntings, because they started in the 70s with what we call a slit experiment. And what that was is they would send atoms through these slits. Like three, they had six or seven, and you just put one slit through the atom through one slit, two through the next one. And what they found was whatever the observer believed was going to happen, happened. You can look this up. This has been done thousands and thousands of times. And what that means is that our thoughts actually can control matter. And I'll give you an example. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was this big kick, and it was called the power of positive thinking. People had classes about this. I mean, you went to seminars, and that is exactly what I'm talking about, the power of positive thinking. We are basically in a matrix of our own thoughts. I know this sounds crazy, but that's just,
not to me. I totally believe it. I like Dr. Wayne Dyer and all that, and I'm with it.
Right. And they have found quantum physics. First of all, this is when they told us that there were dimensions, which some of us knew. Now, they just came out and have told us that these dimensions do interact on an atomic level. So you think about they are interacting on an atomic level, and they learn something about this every day. So you are a person that has some type of ability to see this atomic level or glimpse this atomic level. That explains psychic abilities. Also, we're going to find out that what we call paranormal is actually normal. We are not evolved enough. Our perception is not evolved enough to see how the universe really is. And I'll give you an example. Like, let's take ants. You know, they build a colony. They, you know, they work. But the ants have no perception of us, of anything outside of their normal little bubble. Dogs, the same way. We are the same way. A human race is not involved enough. And what happens is we are getting glimpses and information of this wider reality. So I know that a lot of people don't agree with this, but UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, all this is all the same phenomenon. I have been talking about this for years and have had a lot of pushback about this, but now a lot of well-known UFO investigators have come around to this and said yes. And one of them is a guy named Grant Cameron that has worked for many, many years with the government, with people trying to get disclosure. And he has said that he was told many years ago exactly what I'm telling you this, and he didn't believe it, but now he's come around that this is absolutely true. It is all one phenomenon. In our lifetime, we will probably not be evolved enough to be able to glimpse this
When you say it's all one phenomenon, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
I mean that they're all connected. It's all connected. All of it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Like, UFOs is not a separate thing from paranormal. Cryptos, it's not a completely separate. They are all connected. So, it's all... Basically, you can't study one field of this, because, and I tell you, I had known this since I was a child, because I am able to read energies. I can read energies of anything. Believe it or not, everything puts off an energy on Earth, every single thing. Grass, trees, animals, I mean, everything. Insects, and reading these different energies, they all have a underlying connection, because they are from Earth and they are in our paradigm, if this makes any sense. I may not be explaining it good. So even though these energies will feel different, there is an underlying base energy that is all the same. And when I first started having this phenomenon, it is the same with this phenomenon. The energy of UFOs, the energy of cryptos, the energy of paranormal is all the same. That's why I'm saying it's all connected. And it's very weird to be able and to hear somebody say that they can read the energies of everything. But that's absolutely true. I'm not really sure what kind. You know, being an empath, not only do I have to put up with reading it, you know, everybody's emotions, but everyone has energies. Energy never dies. Energy never dissipates. So that's what I'm saying. Now, there are also, believe it or not, entities, if you want to call them entities. I don't call them different entities. That have been on Earth the whole time we've been here, we just cannot see them. Now, There is prejudice for this. We know because before the invention of the microscope, no one believed in the microscopic world. But was it real? Yes. The same thing with telescopes. Until we only saw so many planets, we did not know the rest of these planets existed because we did not see or perceive them. That did not mean they are not real. And there's other ones. You can talk about dark matter. They're discovering things all the time that we do not perceive with our five senses. Now, whether these things are, I would argue that these things are on a different frequency. It could be anything. Tell you the truth, we know very little about the world, and especially the unseen world. Because
we only use about 10% of our brain. Isn't that crazy?
Well,
it's true, though, huh?
Yeah. Well, and also, humans tend to have tunnel vision. And what I mean by that, we can absolutely disregard things that we see and hear because we're thinking about something else. An example of that, I'm just going to touch on drones for 1 minute. They are flying all over my house, all over my town. People come here. I show them the drones. And Evelyn, this has happened at least 20 times. I get a call in a few days. How did I not see these? They're everywhere. I said, you weren't looking. If you can learn to get out of your bubble, and a lot of these things that are going on will be, you can notice if you are observant. And what I mean by that, if you have an experience that seems kind of strange, a lot of people go, well, that was weird, and they put it out of their mind and go. They don't think about it again. So most people could actually do psychic abilities just by observing, just by being in contact with the world around you. That's all. It's just...
Cindy, I would like to ask about, and we talked about this yesterday, in our conversation, but I would like to talk about what it was very interesting about you were saying about Reiki and how you felt about the modality, and you can explain what Reiki is.
Well, Reiki, most people out here, I'm sure you know what Reiki is. It's taking your hands and using your energy to heal people. And I was thinking, it is very unfortunate, but this has always been the field, psychic fields, these type of manifest fields, for con artists. And I would tell you that 99% of the people practicing Reiki, practicing psychics in this, are absolutely frauds. I'm sorry for the real truth, but this is a field that's very, really, really open for this type of thing. And I would like to give people that go to psychics or speak to psychics on the phone a few practical advice. Go in person to a psychic. Check your body language. And what I mean by that is, don't come in slumped over like you're depressed. Don't come in smiling. These people can read your body language. You come in and you're all of it, they'll sit down there and the first thing they'll say, well, you're depressed, you have problems, because they have read your face in your body language. It's very easy. Also, don't talk. This goes for also readings over the phone. Do not talk. Give them the least amount of information that you can to get the reading, because every person that I read immediately starts talking. My house is haunted. My daughter died. She had a car wreck. She broke her neck. What you're doing is you are feeding these people information. And the more you talk, the more information they have to parrot back to you.
Exactly.
And it's very easy to do this. And most people, when they are in the reading, they are excited, and they don't even realize till after the reading how much they talk, because you give so much stuff away. And you will know within 5 or 10, 15 minutes whether these people are genuine psychics, because a genuine psychic does not want you to speak. Because I'm always telling people, please don't talk. Please don't talk. Please don't talk. Because I am trying to do a reading, and when I have people talking, then you have difficulty of, did you get the information by reading, or do you get the information because you heard it go in your ear? It interferes with a real psychic reading. Talking does. You should tell the little, like if you have haunting, you should sit down and say, my house is haunted, and stop. Because most of these people then will just stumble around because they are really not getting any psychic readings. They are not psychics. And this is a huge, huge problem right now. Not only in the psychic field, within the metaphysical field, the Reiki fields, all of this, because, you know, it's just so easy for people to say, I'm a Reiki master, open a shop, charge $500-$700, and basically are doing nothing.
They make that much
money.
Well,
you know, my concern about Reiki is that people don't have to do anything. They don't have to practice the craft. And you're just giving a kid a gun. This is just how I feel as trained in Chinese medicine. You're giving a person who has no previous training, no experience, and you're giving them this information of this energy transfer, and what are they
mm-hmm.
supposed to do with it? This person is like giving a gun. This is how I feel. It's like giving a kid a gun, and they don't know where to aim. And I have to say, personally, they say that Reiki doesn't hurt. I have been the receiving end, and I'm telling you, this is my experience. It may not be take what you need and leave the rest, but as the receiving end, if you don't know how to harness that energy, you don't know what kind of energy, how much energy, where you're putting it out, you can do harm.
Well, yes, because what you get is what I call an emotional vampire. Okay. And there are a lot of people that do this involuntarily. What they will do while they're doing the Reiki is basically suck the energy out of you. Okay? This is very dangerous because you will feel drained. It takes a week or more, or sometimes even longer, to build back up the energy that your body needs. And there are a lot of people that involuntarily do this. And when you're doing the Reiki, it's very easy just to pull the energy into yourself. And the reason they do this, because you can actually, that person that's draining your energy, they actually can get a high off of the energy, right? They feel more energetic. They feel happier. People don't do this on purpose, I'll tell you. But there are people that do this on purpose. Now, we all know at least one of what I call an emotional vampire. This is a person that when you go around them, they always got a crisis. They're always a victim. They're always very chaotic. And when you leave, you feel like you've been run over by a car. We all know these people.
Everything and anything just really, you know, it's like they victimized and they got hit by a bus, basically.
Right. And, I mean, these people are basically emotional vampires. And they will actually, these people, if your family members are their friends of you, can actually make you sick with this constant draining of your energy. And it's, you know, I would advise people, everybody knows them. If you're a family member, you can't get rid of your family. But to limit the involvement with these people, because you can actually get depression and anxiety and things like this from have been around these people. Absolutely, you can. And once you, when you feel drained, it's not just the drain of your energy; it's the drain of your muscles, your bones, the energy field around our bodies that keep us healthy. And those people, there are a lot of those people that are in the metaphysical field, because where do they do it involuntarily? Most people do. But they basically recharge themselves with your energy. And this can happen to any person, whether you believe this or not, whether you're psychic or not, this can definitely happen. And the thing about Reiki is, let's say that you have a real disease, cancer or something else. Go into Reiki, instead of going to a regular doctor, could actually kill you going to some of these metaphysical fields. So you have to be very careful, and you have to research people very well, very good. You have to make sure these people have that know what they're doing, have been trained to do it, because 90% of these people just set up a you know, I'm a Reiki master. Same thing with this regression. Everybody just sits up, I'm a regression. That's another thing that is really an abusive build. Regression is not reliable, period.
Isn't that true? It makes sense. It really does.
I have tested the theory myself several times of regression. I was never under. And I was sitting here thinking, every time, I'm not under, with my knowledge of ufology and paranormal, I could tell these people anything, any story in the world. Under regression, just with a word or two, three, not, they don't have to lead you that much. They can, you can imagine, because you're in this altered state, a whole complete scenario that is completely not true. And a lot of these people lead, I'm not going to say the name, but there is a very, very well-known person, male, that has been doing this for years and years. I listened to several of his regressions. Guy was definitely leading these people, leading them all the way through these regressions. A lady went public with this. She had the regressions, and of course, they just tore her apart, even though the evidence was on the tapes. And this person charges thousands and thousands of dollars for a regression. He has a 10-year waiting list. He is not a psychologist or psychiatrist. He was never trained. And you can spend a lot of money. And that's the whole purpose of these fields. And I was talking earlier to you about this consciousness enlightening field. This is another field that is very, very dangerous and full of a lot of con people. You go on, these are well-known people. You go on their website. For a fee of $2,000, you get some books and CDs. And that's the first step. Being enlightened. Some of these programs are absolutely $10,000, $20,000, okay?
That's ridiculous.
And I'm not going to name, these are very well-known people. Yes, it is ridiculous. They charge, all of these people charge. They, and another thing, if you are following somebody, and this is for every field across the board, if there's a person that's writing a book every single year and putting it out, that is a red flag, because you cannot possibly write a book every single year and put it out to make money on the field. You know, it's not possible. You've wasted your money buying these books because the aim of these people is to make money and for you to buy their books. And we were talking about earlier about, I don't even like this word enlightened, because also in these fields, a lot of it is inclusive. And what I mean by that, they will tell you that you can only get enlightened through me or through my group. You must not associate with anybody else that's not enlightened. This is not how it's supposed to be.
It sounds like a cult.
If you want to, that's basically what they are. And how they hook people is they make people feel special. And they tell you in ways that, oh, you're now enlightened, so you are better than other people. Absolutely. Also, they do it by shaming. Say you do something, you know, that they consider not enlightened. That it's, well, you know, you're just not good enough. You're going to have to buy more books. You're going to have to do more of this to get enlightened. That field is rampant with these people. We don't need anybody to tell us to do the right thing. We all know what we're supposed to do. We all know we're supposed to do the right thing. We all know we're supposed to be helping our fellow race, no matter what creed, no matter what color, no matter what religion. We are supposed to be alleviating suffering when we can, not pulling in ourselves and excluding all the other people that are quote unquote not good enough. And this message of love thy neighbor, and like I said, it leads to separate. And also, the number one thing that is lacking now in America and worldwide is empathy. Without empathy, you can never really person. You cannot, because without empathy, you believe that this what situation will never happen to you, and you're a better person because it never happened, and you cannot. And this is really lacking. People just do not have empathy anymore for anyone. And it's very disturbing to me because, and a lot
of
times.
You know what I find, this may not be along the lines, but also not only empathy, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Cindy, but also what I've noticed is customer service. People nowadays don't even know what customer service. They don't even like their jobs, let alone being service to customers. And
the same lines of where we have lost the common dignity of being polite to each other, which is as an advanced race, you must have at least manners. You must at least treat another person respectively. And that goes back to what you're talking about, the customer service. These people, they've been raised, and I hate to say this, but people have now become raised where they are not taught common decency. And you have to be taught that everything you think, and this is a big thing, just because you believe something does not make it true. That goes for every person on earth, because there's not a person on earth that knows everything. There's not a person on earth that is right all the time, because last time I looked, the world was not filled with little gods. And that's the other problem. We have become so arrogant in our stupidity. If I believe it, therefore it's true, no evidence to the contrary is going to convince me because I'm right. And once you take this stand, that is a combated stand. Because I will tell you right now, I don't know anything. I mean, you know, basically, I would never say that I, just because I believed something, therefore it is true, or that I am know anything, because basically, as human beings, we know nothing. I mean, that's just the way it is. We know very little about anything.
That's true.
So, and that goes back to, I'm just talking longer, this field I'm also talking about of aliens and abductions. Okay, I've been working in this field, like I said, years I'm old. We cannot take human emotions, human thought, and human motivations and put them on anything alien. It is absolutely outrageously stupid. So if you listen to these scenarios about aliens, they're always a scenario that a human would think. You know, it's always this here and this here. I mean, it is absolutely ludicrous to take what we think on anything other race or any other even animals. I mean, we don't know for sure that the dolphins and the whales are not basically more evolved than we are. We just can't speak to them. So, and also the idea that an alien race is so superior, they may not even be able to communicate with us, just like the ants. We cannot communicate with ants. We could give an ant a blueprint of the stealth bomber, but they would just eat it. So, you understand what I'm saying, and this is what the field has done. They have taken basically stories, and you can usually track it under one person, and every one of these scenarios has a human motivation and human emotions. Absolutely arrogant. I mean, we, like I said, we can't even communicate with the advanced animals that we have here on our own planet. So, the reason I know the reason people do this, because I get these questions asked all the time. They want to know the unknown. So that, and I will tell everyone up front, even now, after 57 years, I have no idea where this comes from. What I do could come from the Aztec records. It could come from the Earth itself may be an entity, living entity, that we're getting impressions from. It could be the universe at large. You have no idea, even when you're communicating with something, exactly what it is. Now, if someone is a psychic medium and they can say yes, but even when you're communicating with what you think is that ghost, there is no real proof 100% that is who you're communicating with. So, everyone wants to know the unknown, so they're always asking me, well, why do these, because everybody wants to know we're wired this way. We want to be able to know something. It disturbs humans when they don't know. The unknown disturbs humans. And I understand that. And I would probably be that way if I hadn't been so crazy the whole time I was born with all these abilities. Because when you have all these abilities, you have all this outside stimuli that comes in that other people don't get. You start to feel like you are very small in the scheme of the universe and what really goes on. Because you know that you're getting all of this information somewhere. So, to me, it makes you feel, instead of people think, oh, that should be great, no. It makes me feel like that I know very little about anything. Even though I'm getting more of this outside stimuli than, some normal person would. So,
exactly. Yeah. I've learned to go and And, you know, instead of being bombarded at every given moment, I just shut it down. When I'm ready to work or you know, ready to read or whatever, then I open myself. But I've learned to you know, shut it down. And when I want to be able to experience the now and just be without any kind of outside interference, mediumship, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience or anything, you know,
right.
I just feel like I had been able to shut it down. So, yeah, it's interesting how everybody works. It's quite a variety. What do you think about tarot cards? We talked about that yesterday. And so for our listeners, what do you think about that? When you go to a fair and you see a variety of people doing angel card readings and tarot, they're just like, oh, they're just so many people.
And I'll tell you, the problem with tarot cards is every card can have hundreds and hundreds of meanings to it. It's very vague. Now, most people are not going to get anything out of tarot cards. Now, there may be a few people that have abilities that they need some type of focus point, but it's very, very vague. And basically, what you do is you just what you think this card means at this time. For me, I don't use them, and I'm very leery of them and people that do use them. Now, I know, I'm not going to say everyone, because, you know, I don't know that. There probably are people that can use them as focal points. But as a general rule, they're very, very difficult to even learn. You got hundreds of cards. These cards can mean anything at any given time. So you got a person. And basically, let's say this person is reading the tarot cards, but they don't have any psychic ability. So they can just make up whatever it is. Okay, this card means this at this time because it fell by this card. So, you know, it's funny because tarot cards were used for hundreds of years by con people. This was one of the first spiritual conning. This conning has been going on for a long time in these fields. But that was one of the things.
Why do you think that everybody, when you go to these fairs, that there, you know, there's so many people using tarot cards? Is it easy? Is that what it is?
Well, no, it's very. It takes years and years and years to do these cards. But basically, it still comes back to your feelings or what you think at this time, because every card depends on the other cards that fall. And, I mean, it's very, very difficult. It is not easy to master this. But it's easy to set up some tarot cards and have yourself perceived as being psychic because you have the tarot cards, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's why they've always been at fairs for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you know. So, I'm on the fence about it. I think that's another field where there's so much interpretation and very vague. Which, you know, when you do a reading, if someone's doing a reading on you that is genuine psychic, they should not speak in general or vague terms. Real psychics can pick up on minute details, not general details. Because you can tell a lot of people, that's another thing. You can generally say, you know, because everyone's has problems. Oh, you're having problems in general. When you go to a psychic, they should be able to pick up details, real details, not just talk in general terms. And unfortunately, out here, there's basically a script for this. There's a script for the alien abductions. There's a script for everything. And these people follow these scripts. That's one problem right now, that problem with ufology, because everyone is following a script. Everyone, I don't know if your audience knows this, but has a PR person. And they also have a agent. Some of them are high-paid Hollywood agents. This is what's happened in the field. So what they've got a PR person and their agent telling them what to say because of what sells at that moment.
I'm just looking at the time here, and oh, my goodness. We actually out of time. The hour went by super quick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sorry. I talked the whole
time,
and you didn't even get to ask me a question.
I know. Well, it's you know, we're just going to have to get you back on. And, you know, talking about alien abductions, you're talking right up my alley. So
I can do a whole show on that alone.
let's do it. Sherry, set it up. Let's do an abduction thing, because you know that's my
Well, that would be excellent. I would love to do that.
Yeah, no, that
would
be great.
Well, thank you guys for having me on and listening to me basically run my mouth the whole time. I'm sorry. Y'all didn't even ask me a couple of questions.
Wow. So,
wealth of information for our listeners. You know, I just really, it's nice to have somebody that's really refreshing and down to earth. And I feel that, you know, Cindy, you and I are real close to our age, if not the same age. But, you know, you can, excuse me, you can see through all the facade and you know, as you get older and hopefully wiser, that you can help others by sharing that information. So it's amazing. Thank you, Cindy, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys, and y'all have.
But you have a show too. If somebody wants to learn more, now you have a show too, right?
Yes, I have a show. Right now, I'm going to be. It's in hiatus, and I've got another new show that's going to be starting in June on Paranormal UK. This show, my other show, was a complete drone and military show. This show is going to be more. I will do drones and military technology because it needs to be known for people that are investigating UFOs. They need to know what's out there. But I'm also going to be touching on other fields like we were tonight and giving people information that you won't hear other people on the radio telling people. I mean, basically, that's it. Because
that's great. Well, share that on our Facebook when you get that.
Well,
you get
thank
that
you,
set
guys.
Up.
And I really appreciate you having me. I hope y'all have a great night.
Yeah,
thanks
for
have
coming on.
Have a good
on.
Night. Thank you for staying up and being part of our show. We really appreciate it, Cindy. Thank you.
Oh,
we'll
thank
be
you.
In
I had a great
sure.
time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Sure. All right,
bye-bye. Good night. Take care. Yay. Wow, that whole hour went by quick.
I know.
You know, I like her refreshing. Seriously, I really like the way she, you know, she's kind of, she's been around, you could tell, and it's just really refreshing to have somebody who's very unbiased, but, you know, can see through the veil of what's going on with these different modalities, and, you know, it's interesting. So what do you think, Jason?
Well, it's nice to see somebody that, you know, I've had the experience of running into paranormal investigators where everything's paranormal. They go into people's houses not knowing anything. I was with an investigation with somebody that started a paranormal group one time, and they went into this lady's house, and the lady was asking him questions, and he didn't know the answers to it. We're talking basic questions, and I was like, oh my God, and it really serves does a disservice to people out there, and it's dangerous. You know, and so it's always nice to talk to people that have some, you know, critical thinking skills. Not everything's paranormal, you know, and it's just important out there. I think the whole field has gotten disillusioned with fakery and ignorance and all that. So, like I said, it's just refreshing to talk to people that have a lot of experience in the field and know that not everything's demons. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Exactly. Well, next week we're going to have a special Guy Belanta. He's out of Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. He's going to talk about his books, and we're just going to talk about hunting, paranormal field of hunting in Hawaii and his experience of what he can share and possibly teach or you know, whatever about the paranormal investigations that he's had. So Well, Easter Sunday, we're going to be on at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and we will have live on air Guy from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Awesome. Well, with that, I want to wish everybody a great and safe week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll close her off.
Nope, we're fine. Thank you guys for all your support, and take care. Have a nice week, and peace.
Good night, everyone.